Our text in a moment will come from Matthew 17. For those of you that like to flip ahead, I'll give you a little extra time to do that. Brooke and I enjoy a good movie from time to time. Now, a lot of times we'll just watch one at home, but occasionally we like to go out, have a little date night. I know the popcorn, the drinks, and all that's a little more expensive, but it's nice to get out of the house sometimes. But one thing I can't do at the movie theaters, I just won't do, is I cannot do the 3D movies. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at those and I put on the little glasses, I just can't see the 3D at all. If it's playing in regular, I'll just go to the regular. It has nothing to do with the way the 3D glasses look, because everybody's wearing them, so everybody looks the same. I just can't see it. Now, I have had some friends tell me before, well, Travis, what you've got to do is you've got to stare at it, unblinking, and cross your eyes, and then it looks 3D. And I did it and looked stupid, I'm sure. I think they were pulling my leg, maybe. And it's a really great way to get a headache, but I didn't see anything in 3D. But even with the right lenses on, I could not see this unseen thing. I couldn't see this extra thing that someone was trying to show me. But I do love the idea that I can put on some glasses and I can see something extraordinary that I couldn't see on my own. Now, maybe you've seen a picture of a stereogram. That's that big, long word, but what it means is something that was around in the 90s. Maybe you've seen these. It's these large canvas pictures with millions of tiny, brightly colored dots, all these different colors. And if you stare at them long enough, unblinking, maybe you cross your eyes, I don't know. If you stare at them long enough, you're supposed to see this three-dimensional object pop out. And I would bring you a picture, but I didn't want to have the choir come down for just one picture that we probably can't see anyway. Maybe y'all can. I can't see it. But they had all these brightly colored dots, and if you'd stare at them, you'd see a three-dimensional picture. In my walk with God, sometimes it feels like I'm looking at one of those pictures. And maybe it's the same with you. It's this fuzzy thing, and you stare at it, and you say, I think I can make out a shape. I think God is revealing something to me. When I first looked at an example that I found online, I thought, oh, it's a mountain range. Because it went up and down like this. And I thought, no, it's a heart monitor. And then I looked at the example below it, and no, it was a shark. That was the fin. And so I'm obviously, I need to just keep wearing glasses. But God has this picture out there for me, and it's taking shape. And if you're like me, when you look at these things, it looks like the dots are moving. And I look at these pictures and I say, if only I could see this picture the way the creator of it saw things. And in fact, in our lives, we can do that. Even though it looks like a fuzzy picture and it's hard to make out what is going on in our present, much less our future, we can ask the Creator if he can help give some wisdom. Now, God sees everything. He knows everything. And he's not going to give the whole picture to us overnight. But perhaps if we ask God to help us see things as he sees them, we can get a glimpse, get a little bit of that picture of the fin, so to speak. God is here, and he is amongst us, and he wants to help us see things the way that he sees them. Our text is Matthew 17, starting with verse 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. So here's the scene. As Pastor Steve pointed out a few weeks ago, Peter, James, and John were 3 disciples that wanted to be the closest to Jesus. They wanted to get as close to Jesus as they could. So the disciples, the 12, being kind of an inner circle, this is the inner circle of the inner circle. They want to have exclusive access to Jesus. They want to be as close to him as they possibly can. And this is an excellent example of where Jesus let them do that. These three alone get to go up on the mountaintop with Jesus, and they get to see something that no one else saw. And they get to see something that they could not see with their own eyes. God gives them the ability to see this thing that they could not have seen on their own. And something else to think about that happens before this story. Right before this story, Jesus makes a prediction about his death. It's the first one in the Gospel of Matthew, one chapter ahead of this. He makes a prediction about his death. And Peter, at this point, has pulled him to the side and said, Jesus, I don't know what you're talking about. No one's going to hurt you. If they try, they're going to have to go through me. And we know Peter means this promise because later in the Garden of Gethsemane, when someone tries to attack Jesus, he cuts off the soldier's ear. So we know Peter means what he says. Jesus, I don't know what you're talking about. No one's going to hurt you. And Jesus scolds him and says, Peter, you have in mind the concerns of man, not the concerns of God. In other words, Peter is seeing what he wants to see. He's not seeing the whole picture. Jesus has made this prediction of his death, but Peter can't quite see it. It's right there in front of him. So we already know that Peter, he just can't bear to hear this stuff about Jesus going to the cross, Jesus dying. For Peter, Jesus is always going to be there. There's nothing going to happen to Jesus. He's Jesus. What could possibly happen to the Messiah, the one that has been predicted in the Old Testament, what we know as the Old Testament? He's going to conquer, right? He's going to come and conquer. So Jesus has made it very clear that he is the suffering Messiah, that he will go to the cross. But Peter can't even see it. Now, can you relate? Is there anything in your life that is right in front of you? People have been telling you, it's right in front of your eyes, it's right at your ear, but you just can't see it, or you can't hear it. Because you don't want to look at it. You don't want to hear that. Is there anything in your life that God's trying to show you, God's trying to tell you, but you just can't experience that because you're just not ready for it? You want to see good things, not this bad news that's around the horizon. Now, over the past, I guess, month and a half, I've gained a little bit of weight in my stomach. Y'all seen how I eat. It's not a surprise. So I've gained a little bit of weight in my stomach. And the doctors had been telling me that I was gaining a little weight. But that's not what I thought about the other day when I put on some pants and I thought, these pants have shrunk. I must have accidentally bumped the hot water on the washer or something because the pants have shrunk. So I tried on another pair. Like, well, these have shrunk too. What's going on? And it wasn't until about the third or fourth pair that I realized maybe it's not the pants shrinking. Maybe it's me getting fatter. I don't know. But we all struggle with things that we just refuse to see. In the original Wizard of Oz, not the movie, but the book, The Wizard of Oz, there is a city where everything's made of emerald called the Emerald City. And before you enter the city, a person gives you a pair of glasses with green lenses. No one ever takes them off. So everyone walks around with their green lenses, and everything they look at looks like it's emerald. And they go about talking about how beautiful the city is. Look, this is made of emerald. This is made of emerald. They all forget that they're looking through these green-colored glasses. The moral of that story being that if you try hard enough, if you wear the right lenses, you can filter out all the other light, all the other truth, and see only what you want to see. We can forget that something's right in front of our face because we filter that out. And Peter is doing just that. Peter has, in a sense, got his rose-colored glasses on. He is able to see the Messiah that is glorified. Jesus brings him up on this mountain. His face shines like the sun. So do his clothes. He gets to talk to Moses and Elijah. There's all these things that honor Jesus as the Messiah. Peter can't see Jesus as the dishonored Messiah. We have Moses and Elijah, who both, we know, had hard times with the people that they ministered to. And Jesus directly says to the disciples, he says, look, just as Elijah suffered, so must I suffer. He's being very deliberate about what he's saying. And yet, Peter can't see it. If that wasn't enough, a huge cloud develops over this mountain. It's a little reminiscent of when Moses was on Mount Sinai talking with God. There's this big cloud that looks like a fire to the people on the ground, and God speaks to Moses out of this cloud. So there's all this symbolism going on, and God is affirming what's going on, what's about to happen with Jesus. And we have this declaration from God the Father. a few weeks ago I spoke to you about Jesus' baptism. And we know when Jesus was baptized, we hear this voice from heaven, God the Father, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love, in him I am well pleased." And here we have the exact same proclamation. So at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, we have God the Father declaring that this is who he says he is. This is the Christ, and he is about to start his ministry. And here towards the end, God the Father is saying, yes, what he just said about his death is true. He's affirming his identity, and he's affirming his mission. There's no denying it. So there's so many levels to this story, but let's just sum up a little bit of what we know so far. Peter is struggling to accept Jesus in the image of the suffering servant. He knows him as the Messiah, but he's struggling to see Jesus in what he's trying to show him. We know that Jesus let Peter, James, and John see something on top of that mountain that no one else got to see, and that only they could only see because Jesus gave them that ability. And we know that Jesus backs up what he's saying by his transfigured appearance, the appearance of Moses and Elijah, and God the Father declaring in a cloud that he affirms his mission and his identity. But interestingly enough, Peter is only taking a little bit from this experience. He sees all of this, but he's only taking from this experience what he wants to see, the glorified God who is up on the mountain shining like the sun. He takes that from that experience. He doesn't quite want to see anything else. So I love what Peter does next. He says, "Jesus, it is good that we are here." And I can identify with that, can't you? If you were up on the mountain with Jesus and you see him transfigured, he's glowing, don't you think you would be ecstatic about it? I am so glad I'm here. I get to see this. And Peter says, "If it is okay with you, I will build three shelters for you," or some translations say booths. So if you don't know what the shelter would look like, picture a booth. "I'll build three booths for you, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And on one hand, it looks like, hey, he's honoring Jesus and Moses and Elijah. He's building something for them. But some people think Peter had a little bit of an ulterior motive, and it's a good one, that if I am building a booth around you, then I'm assuming that you're going to stick around for that. Once I've built this booth, I'm hoping that you're going to stick around and enjoy it for a little while. So we think that maybe Peter wants to build these shelters because, in a sense, he is building up walls, building up things around this moment. Peter wants to live in this moment. Here he is on the mountaintop, probably one of the best points of his life. And he just wants to do anything he can to live in that moment. Perhaps Peter knows in his heart, I know what Jesus has said. I can't accept it. But I know Jesus has said that at some point we have to come down this mountain. And before long, we'll be on top of another mountain. But this time, Jesus will be on that cross on that mountain. And I don't want to go there. I don't want to know that my best friend, the one that I follow around, my master, my savior, I don't want to picture, I can't picture, I can't rationalize this person up on the cross. What can I do to live in this moment, to preserve this moment? Now, we have the benefit of 2020. We know how the story ends. We can look and say, I see what God's doing here. I see what God is preparing here. But the people at that time, they didn't know exactly what was going on. They were waiting on a Messiah, but some people didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah, meaning he was the Redeemer. Some people that knew that he was the Messiah expected him to bring down the hammer on the people that were oppressing them. They didn't expect him to lift up a cross. They expected that the prophet Elijah, according to prophecy, the prophet Elijah would come before the Messiah came. They didn't get that John the Baptist had served in that role as Elijah, and just as Elijah was persecuted and killed, well, persecuted, just as he was persecuted, John the Baptist was killed, and that similarly, Jesus would be killed. So nothing is happening the way people are expecting it to. Now, it's hard to see sometimes what God is doing, what he's putting together, because we expect God's plan to look a certain way. And I think we do this subconsciously sometimes. We expect God is going to do something, and I know that it's going to be right over there, and it's going to look a certain way. So we have our binoculars on, and we're looking, zoomed way in on this one particular spot. And when you're looking through binoculars, what can you not see? Anything around the binoculars. And here we are looking, we're zoomed way in, we're looking for this exact specific thing, and we can't see what God because it doesn't look where we're looking. It doesn't look like what we're expecting it to look like. God shows up, but it's not exactly where we're looking. And here God is right before our face, but we can't see him. He's shouting in our ear, but we're going, hey, hey, I'm trying to look for Jesus. And here he is right beside us. Now, Jesus was famous for taking the expectations that people had and turning them around. People had all these expectations. God's going to show up. He's going to do this. It's going to look like this. It's going to be in this way, this time. But Jesus was famous for saying, I know you've heard it said that it's going to be this way, but I say unto you, it's going to be this way. People would come to him all the time, and Jesus had a knack for doing that. In short, Jesus helped people see things, not the way they expected to see them, not the way they expected for them to look, but Jesus helped people see things as God saw them, which was infinitely more important. And in this case, he's helping Peter. He's telling Peter by his actions and by his words that no matter how much Peter wanted to deny it, his best friend, his Savior, the Messiah, is going to go to the cross, that he is going to die. So I ask you, what is in your life that God is trying to show you, that he's put right in front of you, and you're covering your eyes, or you're covering your ears, and you just can't see it, you can't hear it because you're not ready for it? Often we pray to God, show us your will, but then if that will is something that we don't want to see or hear, we cover our eyes, we cover our ears. God might want to shower you with blessing, or like the disciples at the Last Supper, he may have some hard words to say to you. Now, what if God's plan for you involves something you'd rather not do, somewhere you'd rather not go? Will you go with God anyway, in every moment? Will you trust in him? Or will you choose a couple memories from your past, your spiritual journey? Will you choose a couple things that were highlights of your time with God, and will you just cling to those memories? Have you ever met somebody who's stuck in their glory days? Maybe it was their time on a high school football team, and they're stuck in that moment. Maybe it's some memories they have from college or a job they used to have, and they keep recycling the same stories over and over again. The same old jokes, the same old memories, never creating new memories, new jokes, new exciting times. Maybe you've dated somebody who was stuck on their ex, and I think most of us have probably done that, and you think, I really wish they would move on. Maybe you know somebody who's had something happen to them, and that thing that happened to them affects every breath they take, every move they make. You might say, well, that's them. That's not me. I'm not like that. But I challenge you to apply that same principle to your own spiritual life. Is there any moment in your spiritual life, in your past, that you're holding on to, and you just want to live in that memory, but you're not pressing forward with God? Maybe it was a camp or a retreat. Maybe it was when you joined the church. Maybe it's when you were baptized. Whatever it is, maybe there's this moment that you just want to hold on to. I want to live in that moment when Jesus says, I want to push you forward. I have new memories for you, new stories, new things to laugh about, enjoy. A memory alone is not enough. We might all have those wonderful memories of things that God has done in our life, but a memory is not enough. At the end of the day, even if you've had your eyes opened by Jesus, like Peter, you have to come down off that mountain. And when Peter came down off that mountain, he came down to some things that were not really enjoyable. There's a guy who directly challenges him against Jesus. There's a second prediction by Jesus of his death. And the scripture says the disciples are filled with grief. So here Peter has had this wonderful experience with God, something probably better than anything else he experienced. No one else knows what it's like to experience that. And here he is hearing a second prediction of Jesus' death and being challenged by people. It's not a good thing to come back to. But in the same chapter, we learn that Peter gets to see a boy who struggled with medical issues as a result of demon possession. Jesus cast out that demon, and Peter gets to see that. Someone challenges Peter about taxes, and this incredible story, Jesus tells Peter, okay, go out to the lake. The first fish you find is going to have a gold coin in it worth enough to pay my taxes and yours. And that's unbelievable. Peter had some uncomfortable situations, and ultimately he died for Jesus. But he also had some incredible times that he spent alone with the Savior. And it is so much better to walk with Jesus, even if it means coming down off that mountain. It's so much better to walk with Jesus than to be anywhere else alone. Even after Jesus ascended into heaven, Peter got to be a huge part of the early church. And because of what he had seen in Jesus, he was prepared then to walk and talk and see things like Jesus. He became like Jesus to the people because of what he had seen, because God opened his eyes. And even though Peter struggled for a while, eventually he allowed his eyes to be opened. So I ask you again, what is it that God is trying to show you? What is God trying to say to you? And you just won't hear it. My challenge to you is to take your hands down, off your eyes, off your ears. Sometimes we have that tunnel vision, those blinders on. But I challenge you to see that big picture, the good and the bad. Now, I don't know what God might be trying to show you or say to you this morning. He might be asking you to join the church. He might be asking you to be baptized. There may be something else that's like a mountaintop experience that God wants you to encounter him in. And he may have some wonderful things to show you, and he may have some hard things to show you. But it is always better walking with God than it is walking anywhere else alone. And this is a church that will stand with you and walk with you. Whether you're on that mountain or in that valley, this church will stand with you, walk with you, get on our knees with you if we have to. Whether it's in that mountain or on the valley, we want to be there with you and part of your spiritual journey. In a moment, we're going to sing a hymn. And I challenge you, whatever God has laid on your heart to do, whether it's join, be baptized, maybe you want to come and speak with me about something going on in your life, whatever it is that God's trying to say to you, I challenge you to listen to him as we sing this hymn.